For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. There's the ladder, folks. There's the ladder that God has provided for lost sinners like you and me. Lost people who have no hope of salvation unless God provides it for us. And God has provided it. And so I want us tonight to come to this text of scripture and to think about Christ our ladder. You think about a ladder, and we need a ladder in the church here. We needed a ladder to change the light bulbs. We need a ladder to change the time on the clock at the back of the church. Every year, when it comes to the month of July, you might see me up halfway up that wall there, perched on a ladder, putting up a banner for the Holiday Bible Club. And pray for me that I don't come a cropper some year, because I have visions when I'm at the top of the ladder just coming down, and I don't know who's going to take my funeral. But anyway, ladders are needed in the church. But let's think about the greatest ladder of all tonight. The Lord Jesus. Martin Luther realized that he was the ladder. And I hope tonight that you realize that he is also the ladder. Or the escalator, as we mentioned earlier. What are the parts of a ladder? Well, let's keep it really simple tonight. Basically, there are two parts to a ladder. You think about a wooden ladder or an aluminium ladder for that matter. I'm not sure. Are ladders made from aluminium? Correct me afterward if I'm wrong. But think about a ladder. There are two parts to it. You've got the rails up the side, and then you've got the rungs across the middle. That's the ladder. Think with me tonight, first of all, about the rails. Because we're told about the rails of this ladder in Isaiah 9 verse 6. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. The two rails, did you notice it? The first rail there is Christ's humanity. Unto us a child is born. There's one rail of this great ladder that God has provided for us so that we could be in heaven someday. Mary had to care for him and look after him the way any mother has to care and look after any baby. And there's a lot of work involved in it. You mummies in the service know all about that, and you daddies as well. But the Lord Jesus, there wasn't something sort of magical about him that he didn't need to be cared for. But he was a helpless little babe there in the manger. And Mary and Joseph, they cared for him. And here we have his humanity. Unto us a child is born. Think of him, the babe in the manger. I mean, who wouldn't approach something as innocent as a little baby? That little baby in the manger 2017 years ago, folks, that was God taking a loudspeaker and saying, I am approachable. You who realize that you're lost, you who feel that you deserve hell, you can come to me. This is my way of encouraging you to come to your Creator. As we mentioned this morning, the Lord is not standing in heaven with thunderbolts in his hands, ready to hurl them down upon us. Not at all. He has a heart that is full of pity and tenderness and full of love and full of mercy, full of grace for those who have erred from the way, those who have wandered from the pathway, those who have fallen short of his glory. And his desire is that they would come to him. Folks, we who are saved, we need to take that message outside the four walls of this church this week. We need to let people know that this is the true God of heaven. The God who appeared in human form in the manger. Think about it for a moment. Would anyone be scared of a little baby? Nobody would. It's the most unintimidating thing that you could imagine. So the Lord is inviting us to Himself tonight through this little child that was born. And that little child, of course, developed and grew up. And he was hungry. Just read Matthew chapter 4. And the devil came to tempt him. You remember that he was tired. In John chapter 4, he sat down in the well to speak to a lady who people would have spat upon. A lady that people would have, if they had been on the same side of the road as her, they would have crossed over the road and walked down the other side. I mean, why do you think that lady came to the well at midday? Think about it. She came at 12 noon, which was the hottest part of the day, when nobody would have dreamt of going to the well for water. Everybody else went to the well when it was cooler. But here's a woman who goes to the well when it's the midday sun is at its highest and hottest. Because she knew that nobody else would be there. Because she was so ashamed of the life that she had lived. Are you ashamed tonight? Are you haunted, as we said this morning, by the ghosts of guilt about what you have done? That, I believe, that is exactly what that poor woman at the well was being tortured by, her past. But there the Lord Jesus met her. He actually went out of his way to have a conversation with her at the well. He went to someone who was an untouchable. You get that? She was untouchable. But that's who Christ came for. And he still comes today calling untouchables to himself. He's calling the untouchables in new buildings tonight to himself. He's calling the untouchables across the world tonight to himself. He invites them to come. Could it be there's someone in the meeting tonight? And you haven't come to him? Why not? He invites you to come tonight. The humanity of the Savior, oh, his hunger, his tiredness, his tears at the grave of Lazarus. Jesus wept, looking over the city of Jerusalem. When he was come nigh unto the city, he beheld it and wept over it. It doesn't just mean a wee sniffle. It's not just a wee whimper. The word in the original Greek, it actually means somebody who's wailing. You would have heard him half a mile away. The cries and the sobs and the lamentations of the Lord Jesus. Of course, in the Garden of Gethsemane, he wept. The book of Hebrews tells us that. It speaks of, so it's a lovely phrase the King James Bible uses. It's strong crying. Strong crying. Why was he weeping? Why was he crying in the Garden of Gethsemane? Because he didn't want to die there. I believe the devil was in Gethsemane and the devil was trying to murder the Savior. I mean, the devil tried to murder him when he was born through King Herod. The devil wanted to slaughter Christ as soon as he came into the world. That first Christmas at Bethlehem. But God the Father preserved him. And there we have the Savior in Gethsemane, and it's last chance saloon for Satan to stop him going to the cross. And all the powers of hell were unleashed against Christ in the garden. I've heard people say, oh, whenever Jesus was in the Garden of Gethsemane, he was trying to back out of Calvary. Well, whenever I hear that preached, I almost get angry. That was why he came into the world, to go to Calvary. Do people honestly think, do those who preach that honestly think that Jesus was trying to get out of the cross work? It's preposterous. No, he was crying in the Garden of Gethsemane because he so desperately wanted to go to the cross to die for you and for me. Such was his desire to die for the likes of us. Vile wretches, depraved wretches. He wanted to get to the middle cross to shed his blood, to die, to pay the full price of our redemption. He shed tears. Can you see, folks, tonight the perfect humanity of the Lord Jesus? Oh, we could say so much more about it, but that is one rung of the ladder. Unto us a child is born. One rail of the ladder, not a rung, it's the rail. Let me tell you the other rail. It's his divinity. Unto us a son is given. Unto us a son is given. Yes, the Lord Jesus was a man, but he also had to be God if he would be able to save us. If he wasn't God, if he wasn't divine, he couldn't provide salvation for us. And so we have the God-man. That's the title that the theologians like to give to him, Jesus, the God-man. And that's exactly what he is. He's very God of very God. He's perfect man and perfect God. And there's his divinity. And if it wasn't for his divinity or his deity, if you prefer, if it wasn't for the fact that he is God, then we couldn't go out this week at the start of December 2017 and tell other people of a mighty Savior. No, he couldn't save anybody if he wasn't God. But he is God, and that's the good news, folks. And please don't listen to the Jehovah's Witnesses who tell you that he's just a created being. Please don't listen to Muslims who will tell you that he was just a prophet. He's not. He's much more. He's infinitely more. He's the very God of heaven. What a rail that is. Folks, this is quite a ladder that we're describing for you tonight. And this is a ladder that will take you all the way to heaven. That's the rails of the ladder. The humanity of Jesus. The divinity of Jesus. Now let's move on tonight. And as we finish, folks, I want to tell you about the rungs of the ladder. And there are four rungs on this ladder, and they're given to us there in Isaiah chapter 9 and verse 6. First of all, there's the first rung, the wonderful counselor. The wonderful counselor. There is no problem that he cannot solve. There is no problem the Lord Jesus cannot solve. He's the counselor, but he's more than that. He's a wonderful counselor. Folks, there are so many counselors in our world today, but yet the world just keeps getting worse and worse. I mean, you take our own country, there are thousands and thousands of counselors. There are thousands upon thousands of psychiatrists, psychologists. But does society get any better? Not a bit of it. It just keeps getting worse. We need a wonderful counselor. And that's what Jesus is. There's so many people today who climb up on the psychiatrist's couch, but really people today need to climb up on the Lord's couch, because he is the greatest counselor of all. We who are saved can go to our homes tonight and climb up on his couch, as it were, and just tell the Lord how we feel, how difficult the battle is, We can just pour out our hearts before him, and he will not cast us out. If you're not a believer tonight, if you're not a Christian, thank God you can climb up on his couch tonight, even before you leave this church. And you can tell him that you deserve his wrath, and you can plead for mercy. And I want to tell you tonight that he will give you his mercy. Because he wants to be merciful to you far more than you want him to be merciful to you, if I haven't confused you. That's the kind of wonderful God he is. Yes, here's the first rung on this divine ladder, the wonderful counselor. The second rung, the mighty God. There is no power he cannot subdue. He has the power to do anything. Folks, remember that the babe in Bethlehem was the one who flung 1 billion galaxies into space. If he can do that, surely he can do anything. There's a lovely verse in Mark chapter 2. In the story, the record of the sick of the palsy being brought to Jesus. A lovely verse there that says, "For the Son of Man hath power upon earth to forgive sins." That's the greatest need, isn't it, tonight? That our sins would be forgiven. Jesus' power. Problem is, we don't come to him. We don't go to him. But if we come to him, if we go to him, he will forgive us. Now I'm talking to both believers and unbelievers tonight. No power that he cannot subdue. Thank God tonight he's not only the wonderful counselor and the mighty God, he's the everlasting Father. What that literally means is the Father of eternity. The Father of eternity. The Lord Jesus is the Father of eternity, and therefore there is no period that he does not span. There is no problem he cannot solve. There is no power he cannot subdue. There is no period he does not span. You see, folks, the Lord Jesus, yes, he is a human being, but he's also the God of heaven. And Daniel used a lovely phrase. He called the Lord Jesus the Ancient of Days. And that's what he is. He's the Ancient of Days. From everlasting to everlasting, he is God. And John tells us in John's Gospel, we read a portion from it tonight, but John emphasizes the divinity of Christ. John emphasizes the eagle, as it were, soaring up into the heights of heaven. He is God. He's the Father of eternity. He's the everlasting Father. And then let me finish tonight with the final rung of this beautiful ladder, the Prince of Peace. The Prince of Peace. My, isn't that the thing that the world is just crying out for today? People are trying to fill the vacuum in their souls with so many different things, the pleasures of the world. They're just cramming everything into that vacuum that they can get in, but the vacuum's as big as ever. Because the only thing that will fill that vacuum in the human soul is the peace of God which passeth all understanding. And that peace comes from the cross. Because the Lord Jesus has bought that peace with his precious blood. And in Ephesians chapter 2 verse 14, it just puts it so simply. It says, he is our peace. Folks, remember, peace is not a thing. Peace is a person. And if you've got Christ, then you've got peace. He's the Prince of Peace. Have you ever met this prince? There was a lot of people met Prince Harry the other day, didn't they? Whenever he and his wife-to-be went on that walkabout. And we wish Prince Harry well. I mean, surely our hearts go out to him, losing his mother at a young age, and he has had a difficult life, and we just wish him and long that he would have a happy married life together. But I want to tell you about a prince tonight who's much greater than Prince Harry. It's the Lord Jesus, and he's the Prince of Peace. In the book of Acts, he's called the Prince of Life. what a prince he is. John Bunyan wrote that great book, The Holy War, and in it he calls the Saviour Prince Emmanuel. What a beautiful title. Do you know him tonight? Do you know the Prince of Peace? Have you stepped onto the ladder this evening? Are you on that ladder tonight? Are you on your way to heaven? If not, please step on it tonight. And if you are, will you tell other people about the ladder? We're going to turn to our final hymn. My Lord has garments so wondrous fine, and myrrh their texture fills. Its fragrance reached to this heart of mine, with joy my being thrills. Out of the ivory palaces, into a world of woe, and only his great eternal love made my Saviour go. Folks, as we sing this hymn tonight, as we bring the first Sunday of Advent to an end, let's just bathe in the wonderful love of the Lord Jesus and just rejoice in it. Let's stand together to sing.